We open with hymn number 228.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord,
and thou forgivest the iniquity of my sin.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God. So is your praise to the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. In the city of our God, in his holy mountain, God is in her palaces. He is known as her refuge. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. We have thought, O God, on your loving kindness in the midst of your temple, according to your name, O God, so is your praise to the end.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we most heartily thank Thee that Thou hast caused us to come to the knowledge of Thy Word. We pray Thee graciously keep us steadfast in this knowledge unto death, that we may obtain eternal life. Send us now and ever pious pastors who faithfully preach Thy Word without offense or false doctrine, and grant them long life. Defend us from all false teachers, and frustrate Thou the counsels of all such as pervert Thy Word, who come to us in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravenous wolves, that Thy true church may evermore be established among us and be defended and preserved from such false teachers through Jesus Christ, Thy Son, who lives and reigns with Thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. Our Old Testament lesson is found in the 23rd chapter of Jeremiah, the verses 16 through 29. Thus says the Lord of hosts, "Do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise me, 'The Lord has said you shall have peace.' And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own heart, they say, 'No evil shall come upon you.' For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? Behold, a whirlwind of the Lord has gone forth in fury, a violent whirlwind. It will fall violently on the head of the wicked. The anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and performed the thoughts of his heart. In the latter days you will understand it perfectly. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and caused my people to hear my words, they would have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in secret places so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, 'I have dreamed, I have dreamed.' How long will this be in the heart of the prophets who prophesy lies? Indeed, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, who try to make my people forget my name by their dreams, which everyone tells his neighbor. as their fathers forgot my name for Baal. The prophet who has a dream, let him tell a dream. He who has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed.
The epistle lesson is found in the 20th chapter of Acts, the 27th through the 38th verse. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among yourselves men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone day and night with tears. So now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessity and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. Then they all wept freely and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spoke, that they would see his face no more, and they accompanied him to the ship. Here ends the epistle lesson.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Alleluia.
The gospel is found in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 15th through the 23rd verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit. But a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here ends the gospel.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We confess the Christian faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us sing hymn 267. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is in the 7th chapter of Matthew, the 15th through the 23rd verse. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, if I were to tell you, beware of the boogeyman, for he is hiding in dark closets, you probably wouldn't take that warning seriously, because there's no such thing as a boogeyman. It's silly to warn about things that don't actually exist. If instead I were to say to you, beware of nuclear radiation, you'd probably still not take the warning seriously, because you don't live anywhere near a nuclear reactor. A danger that you will seldom, if ever, face is hardly a danger to you at all. When you hear the word beware, you expect to be told about a real threat, something that threatens you now, not something theoretical, something that's too far away to imagine happening to you. And so when Jesus says, beware, he is not warning about something imaginary, nor something that's far off, but something that you will face. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. These are the words of the greatest prophet of all, the man through whom all of God's wisdom and knowledge comes to men, the man whom God sent to become your salvation. Every word of God is the word of Jesus, and therefore every false prophet who twists the word of God is twisting the words of Jesus. And yet Jesus does not say beware simply because he wishes to silence his rivals who twist his words. He says beware because he is the Savior of all men. That is his office. He came down from heaven not just to please himself, but to lay down his life for the sins of the world. The Father made him the greatest prophet of all, because it is through Jesus that you must be saved, and through his word and promise. Only by believing Jesus' words, the gospel of the forgiveness of sins in him, can you be saved. No other words can save you. Every false prophet can only bring you death. Therefore, if Jesus is a true Savior, then he will warn you about false prophets so that you will not listen to them and lose your salvation. Jesus says that the false prophets will come to you. This is not an imaginary or a remote threat, but one you can expect to face. False prophets will come to you. Beware. Don't think that you can ignore such a warning as this, that maybe pastors have to deal with false prophets, but you do not. Jesus did not say that false prophets will come to your pastor, but that they will come to you. John says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." We tend not to take these warnings so seriously, but that is only because we don't realize just how many false prophets really have gone out in the world. In our day, they are more numerous than ever before. And they are able to use all of the modern tools of communication to reach you, so that even if they happen to be afar off, they can bring themselves right into your living room or your radio. And we do not realize this because false prophets never seem to be wicked men. But Jesus does not use the word beware lightly. He gives two reasons for bewaring these people. First, because they are false. They claim to speak God's word, but they prophesy lies in God's name. Second, they are ravenous wolves on the inside. They only look like the sheep. That is not their nature. They are wolves, and they want nothing better than to tear you to pieces. So Jesus is not here saying that some false prophets do not come in sheep's clothing, nor that some of them are not ravenous wolves. He does not leave the door open for there to be mild false prophets and then really bad false prophets. He's stating a truth that all false prophets are this way, no matter what they may seem to be. They look like sheep, but they are, in fact, ravenous wolves. Do not be surprised that false prophets look like sheep. They claim to be speaking for God. They come saying, calling upon the name of the Lord. Therefore, they're certainly not going to look like the devil. They do not have cloven feet or a forked tongue. If they did, you wouldn't listen to them. No, a false prophet looks like a true prophet. Well, he mostly looks like a true prophet because he usually looks better than the true prophets of God. He probably seems to be kinder, more compassionate, and to lead a life that is holier than God's true prophets. he's likely to be even more reverent and spiritual than God's true prophets. And so looks are no way to judge a false prophet. On the last day, it is these same false prophets who call out, "Lord, Lord," to Jesus. They use the name of the Lord all the time. They point at their wonderful works that they have done in his name. But in the end, Jesus says to them, "I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." But if it is not their appearance, then perhaps it is their works. Jesus says that you will know them by their fruits. Surely their works are their fruits. If they do good, if they feed the hungry, if they support homeless shelters, are these the fruits that identify them as true prophets? No, that also is not the kind of fruit that Jesus means. In fact, Jesus says this is exactly the kind of fruit that Jesus excludes. For these false prophets say to Jesus on the last day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name?" That's a good work. "And cast out demons in your name." Who would not call that a good work and a wonderful fruit? "And done many wonders in your name." Jesus mentions the really big, the visible works that they will come with boasting and trying to convince him that they deserve to enter eternal life. The ones with shebang, prophesying, throwing out devils, doing signs and wonders. But even these big and grand works aren't enough. These are not the fruits which identify them as true prophets. For Jesus says to them, "I never knew you." Some false prophets seem easy enough to identify. There are all those cults out there, such as the guys that come knocking at your door at the most inappropriate times. Islam is, as a religion founded upon the false prophet Muhammad, surely is obviously listening to false prophets and proclaiming a false gospel. But what is it about these prophets that identifies them as false? Why do we know that they are false prophets? Despite their good works. But the one who comes claiming to speak in Jesus' name is a false prophet. We cannot tell. It is their prophesying. It is their teaching. Jesus defines the fruit of the false prophet in the same way. He says, they do not do the will of the Father. Then what is the Father's will that they are to do? The will that they are not doing. In John 6, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day." The will of the Father is that everyone will see the Son and believe on him and thus have everlasting life. Therefore, the fruit of the false prophet must be the same thing, that he does not show people the Son. He does not preach Jesus and his cross. He does not give to them everlasting life. A true prophet must preach the Jesus who died and by whose blood you are washed from sin. He must preach the Jesus who rose from the dead and who will on the last day also raise up you from the dead. He must preach Jesus. For if he does not preach Jesus, then his preaching is false, however wonderful it sounds. He is not giving you figs but thistles. He is not giving you grapes, but thorns. The fruits by which you know a false prophet then are not the works that he performs, but the words that he preaches. Now we already heard that a false prophet looks like a sheep. He may be wearing a Hawaiian shirt or a suit or the robes and vestments of the preaching office, but all of these things you must set aside and pay attention to his words instead. Does he speak the truth? When he talks about being a good person, does he use God's law rightly? Does he use it to condemn you and threaten you with hellfire because of your wickedness? That is how a true prophet uses God's law, because that is what the law of God does. It shows you your sins. Or rather, does he teach God's law as something that you are able to keep? Does he give you a list of things to do to fix your life, your marriage, your relationship with your parents or your children or your co-workers? It all sounds so good, but that is a false prophet, because God's law does not work that way. It doesn't do anything but accuse you, and it never gives you the power to fix anything, because you're not able to keep the law. Only Jesus has kept the law for you. Only he with his perfect life can fix your life. And he does it by crediting you with all of his goodness. Does the prophet preach Jesus? Does he tell you of the cross upon which Jesus died, where his blood was shed for the forgiveness of your sins? Does he tell you to repent and believe in Jesus? Does he direct you to that cross and forgive you your sins in Jesus' name? Does he comfort you with the knowledge that you are righteous in Jesus? His righteousness is yours by faith. Does he use the means of grace which Jesus himself has instituted for the forgiveness of your sins? Does he teach the clear words of Jesus when Jesus instituted baptism and the Lord's Supper for the remission of your sins? If so, then he is a true prophet, because he has taken the words of Jesus and declared them to you. But if he denies Jesus' words, if he does not offer you the real body and blood of Jesus, if Jesus, in fact, rarely bears mentioning at all in his preaching, if the cross is nothing but an initiation device to get you into the Christian church, if the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name is not the constant theme of what he declares, then you have before you an honest-to-goodness false prophet. Jesus does not give you any leeway when it comes to false prophets. He says, beware. And that doesn't mean that you should just simply be cautious around false teachers, but beware of them like you would beware of an actual wolf snarling at you, baring his teeth, salivating, ready to tear you apart. One does not take such a wolf for a pet, nor does he invite it into his home, hoping that if only he is cautious enough, the wolf will do no harm. Even so, by these words, Jesus does not mean that you should remain with false prophets or invite their words and teaching into your homes, and only be careful that you do not believe their words. He means for you to beware of them, to identify them as wolves, no matter how nice they seem to be, despite how nice they sound or how kind. Do not listen to them. Flee from them as you would flee from a wolf. Because no matter how much you try to rationalize it, Jesus' words are clear. A bad tree can only bring forth bad fruit. Don't look for good fruit from the words of a false prophet. But do not just beware and flee false prophets, but at the same time, flee to the true prophet, Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only a true sheep through and through. He is the Lamb who was slain from the foundation of the world. You shall know him by his fruits. His fruits are the work of salvation and his words of everlasting life. For his work is not only holy and good, it is holy and good for you. His perfect death has become your perfect life. Your perfect death, and a sacrificial death has become your death. He has kept every one of his words, even that extraordinary word by which he promised to rise from the dead, so that in his resurrection, you also have risen as a new and glorious creature, righteous and holy before God. For the righteousness of Jesus has now been given to you, so that you, being joined to him who is your root and tree, are one of his fruits, a holy and righteous people who is before him forever. And on the last day, you will not need to cry out, Lord, Lord, or boast of any works which you have done. For your Father will see in you the righteousness of his Son, and he will call out to you, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Heavenly Father, who by thy Son didst create all things that are in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, giving him authority over all, we thank thee that through him we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we may truly know thee as our Father, call upon thee in prayer, and be assured that we will be heard as thy children. Grant unto thy church ministers and teachers who are counseled and led by thy Spirit, and who earnestly hold forth the word of life, diligently gather thy children and teach them all things whatsoever our Lord has commanded. From all false prophets save them, that they, being knit together in love, may stand fast in one spirit, and with one mind strive together for the faith of the gospel. Declare thy glory, O Father, among all nations, and send forth thy messengers to open the eyes of the unbelieving, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto Christ, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance with the children of God. Look with favor upon our own land, that true liberty, perfect justice, and pure morals may prevail in every estate of our society, and that all ungodliness and wicked works may be destroyed. Father, let thy Spirit descend upon our homes. Let the word of Christ in all wisdom dwell richly in the children, and grant that all parents may be worthy examples of true Christian virtues. Shelter them in every storm, and preserve them from all evil. And as thou, dear Father, didst send thy Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, preserve us blameless in the middle of a perverse world, so that we may attain the crown of life. To that end, grant that we may be filled with the knowledge of thy will, be fruitful in every good work, and be strengthened in the patience of faith. Help us to mortify the deeds of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit, ever setting our affection on things above. O Father, from whom all good counsels and just works do proceed, give unto thy children who are enduring pain, sickness, disease, anguish, or any other adversity of body or soul, a firm assurance of thy love and mercy, that they may commit themselves wholly unto thy care, and receive from thee all things needful for their salvation. And now, Heavenly Father, as thou hast bidden us by thy word, to let our requests be made known with thanksgiving in prayer and supplication unto thee, we come to thee in loving gratitude and trust, offering these petitions in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. Amen. We sing hymn 526.
Give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name. evermore praising thee and saying, come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. partake and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink the true blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee, and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
Amen. We sing hymn 373.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Bible class right afterwards. I don't think there's any announcements.
We missed those church members.
What's that?
Miss Stephanie.
Oh, yes.
Your mother.
Yeah, Stephan's in Iowa helping his aunt who has a broken wrist, so. We'll see how long he lasts without getting homesick.